the podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. Oh, Ned, he laughed so hard it made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run. All right, my friends, got some fun stuff for you today. It's nighttime here. I found myself some free time, so I'm going to get at least one of my podcasts up early this week. Did two great interviews this week. I interviewed the Ultra Dad from the Ultra Dad podcast. Go and check him out, the Ultra Dad podcast, because he and I are like on similar tracks. We're just off by a month, you know. He's on the other side of the continent from me, but he runs with his dog. He's training for a 50-miler. I run with my dog. I'm training for a 50-miler. And it was kind of cool because it's like, it was one of those things where I was talking to him. He's like, and you've been listening to the podcast, so you kind of know the people intimately. You've never talked to them before. So it's an interesting, again, this phenomenon we have with our podcasting world here. And I also interviewed Don Allison, the editor, used to own Ultra Running Magazine, Ultra Runner Magazine, whatever it is. So he talks to me. That one went really long, so I'll have to split that one in half. But today we're going to talk to Ultra Dad, and this is episode 14. And I also got some funny stuff about my dog here, and a little bit of a tip for you. So let's get on with the show.
And now for the equipment check.
Get all this extra time on my hands. Family's all gone off. Get to run my errands. Me and my furry boyfriend. How you doing there? Mr. Dog, you're looking pretty spelt. All right. So, well, I wanted to talk to you about the only real nutritional tips I can give, which is breakfast. Here's what I do for breakfast. I'm going to put this down. Might sound a little weird. I get myself some oatmeal. Get some oatmeal. Fill it up with some water. And I use the real oatmeal, not the instant oatmeal. Instant oatmeal is not good. Real oatmeal, good. Instant oatmeal, mediocre. Still doing a pinch, but and the instant oatmeal, the stuff in the boxes with like the flavoring and all that crap, that's just nonsense. Take a half a banana, half a nice stage 5 banana here. Did some work for Chiquita once, so I know all the stages of the bananas. There's 6 stages in bananas ripeness. This banana would be about a stage 4 or 5. Slice up your banana into your oatmeal, into your real oatmeal. Give it a little stir. So if you don't stir it, it's air bubbles in it, and it will explode when you irradiate it. Stick it in the irradiation unit for 2 minutes and 22 seconds. If you have to use the fake oatmeal, the instant oatmeal, that's 1 minute and 23 seconds. You know, approximate. You say start. Start, start, start. There you go. That's what I have for breakfast. Oatmeal and bananas every morning. It's great stuff. Fills you up. Gives you a lot of good energy. Great stuff. I have that with a little black coffee. Sometimes if I'm working out and I need the protein, I'll also have some egg beaters or some egg whites, because you can get those at the supermarket there, and they are fairly healthy with all the fat in them, and they give you some good protein. You got to be careful though, because that's all protein and no carbohydrates, and you'll put yourself in the zone diet unless you throw some bananas in with it or some fruit or something else in with it that has a little bit of carbohydrate. It's a lot better than just eating a piece of fruit or eating, you know, a croissant or some bread for breakfast, which is going to be all carbs, and it'll give you that big spike in energy, and it'll turn into fat. nice bowl of oatmeal, maybe a little bit of protein, a little bit of some sort of fresh fruit carb, good balance, give you some good energy. And then I'm good. Usually I get up at 5:30 in the morning. You know, I have that with a little black coffee. Then I'm good till about 9. I'll have another banana or a piece of fruit or something. And then around 10, I'll try to have a salad with some sort of protein in it, whether it's cheese or nuts or something. Then around lunch, I'll have another salad. And then around 3 o'clock, 2 or 3 in the afternoon, I'll have another salad. And I can replace those salads with pieces of fruit or vegetables or something else, whatever you can carry around with you. When I'm traveling, all that stuff goes out the window, and I just eat what I can when I can. And, you know, I'm not a monk. I'll do that when I can, but sometimes I'll have a regular, you know, sit-down lunch at a restaurant or something. I just don't like fast food for the most part, although I do like french fries and pizza and potato chips. And for dinner, I eat whatever the heck I want. And I'm typically a late eater. I typically work out at night and then come back and eat late, so that's awful. Don't do that. Try not to eat at 9 o'clock at night like I do, because then that just follows through. The one thing about the oatmeal is you got to time your run. If you're a lunch runner, you got to time your, how shall I put this? You have to time your body's physiological rhythms such that you don't get surprised on your lunch run with your oatmeal. All right? So that's my nutritional tip for what it is.
And now for our featured interview.
So anyhow, here we are. We're recording.
Great.
So, what's the date of your ultra?
It's this Saturday.
This Saturday?
Yeah, this Saturday.
Oh,
August
cool.
9th, which will be August 9th.
Oh, okay. So you're heavy taper. You're not doing anything this week, probably.
Well, I'm trying to. Yeah, I'm actually in injury mode, so I'm trying to work out the kinks.
What'd you do?
I wrenched my back the day after my last long run. I was lifting a fan. Like, I'm a volunteer firefighter, and I was lifting a fan out of the engine one. And I just felt the twinge, and then as the day got on, it just got tighter and tighter. And I hardly ran last week, and I've hardly run this week, which is okay, I mean, I guess, because you're in taper mode anyway. But I could hardly walk, too, so...
What's is it muscular, you think?
I think it's muscular, so...
You should go, you should find a massage person, a sports massage person. I bet they'd take that right out for you.
Yeah, well, my wife's been really good about it. She's not a professional, but she's available, so...
Yeah, that's always good, right?
Yeah, the problem with sports massage people is, we'll book you in next Tuesday. Well, my race is Saturday, so...
Yeah, but if you tell them, if you call them and say, hey, I got an emergency.
Yeah, I could do that.
I got a kink. Somebody will fit you in. What a lot of us do is, you know, we have somebody on speed dial, you know, the emergency massage person. And I listened to your taper cast over the weekend, and I think you get that right on track, your taper anyhow. What I found is I've had some of my best races when exactly what happened to you happened to me, where I, you know, my last hard week, I tweaked something, and I had to, like, drop off. I mean, I had a really good Boston one year where basically all I could do was run an easy, you know, 5 mile to 10K three times a week for the last two weeks, and I just smoked a qualifying time. So
awesome.
So where is this race you're running?
It's in Squamish, which is north of Vancouver and south of Whistler.
Okay.
The 2010 Whistler or the 2010 Winter Games are going to be held in Vancouver and Whistler.
Okay.
And Squamish is halfway between the two of them.
Right. So this is Vancouver, Canada, not Vancouver, Washington, right?
Yes. Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Yeah.
Right. There was a, marathon. I did a review of a marathon up there, someplace out, and there's a peninsula up on the top right before you cross over into Canada. There's a peninsula that's like a national park or a state park.
The Olympic Peninsula National Park?
Yeah. And there's a marathon that goes through there. It's the... I forget what it's called, but it looks really cool. It's all trails.
Okay. I don't know that one, but you're not thinking of Whidbey Island.
No. Because definitely out in the state park. So Chris, how do you end up writing a review for the marathon in Vancouver? Well, I used to write race reviews for Cool Running. So if you ever go on Cool Running, you'll see... you might recognize my name, Chris Russell. So that's how I got into all this stuff.
So you're a writer by trade, or
no. This is a hobby. Running's a hobby for me. I got a real job like you.
Okay. No, but you run and then you write.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my hobby.
Cool.
So,
that's a good hobby.
Yep. And so that's that might be familiar.
You blog as well?
Yeah, I do a lot of stuff.
Is it separate from your Run Live website, or is it the same?
No, that's
you haven't been podcasting forever, so.
No, I just started in July.
Yeah, so you must have been blogging long before that.
Well, I used to sort of just write articles, and the articles, they'd post them up on Cool Running. But then Cool Running got acquired by Active, so a lot of the guys I knew over at Cool Running sort of transitioned out. But I knew all those guys. All the guys who started Cool Running are all local guys for me here in Massachusetts. So they're all part of Massachusetts. Has this area, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New England, has a really, really strong traditional running community.
Yeah, I can tell just by the number of races that are available in the New England area. I mean,
right.
There is, you could probably run three or four races in a weekend.
You'd
probably see a few of the same people every weekend.
Yep, it's a hotbed, sort of like, you know, there's parts of Colorado that are like that as well and some other places. But, Massachusetts has always been, probably for the last 30 years, sort of the hotbed of distance running. So great support around here. The I got to tell you, the funniest, I listened to a bunch of your podcasts, and the funniest thing for me was when you turned the corner and saw a llama.
Oh, yeah. That was weird.
Because this stuff happens to me all the time, running, right? You know? You'll be someplace, you'll be running, and it'll be, all of a sudden, there'll just be this thing, and like totally incongruous to what you're doing, you know?
Yeah. Well, normally that's a busy road, but they had the whole road closed off because that road leads up to the dam, and they were doing work on the dam. So the only thing past, you know, the gate was the dam. And so there was this 1 or 2 mile stretch of road that's empty now. And I turned the corner, and there's a llama right in the middle of the road. And up on one side, it goes pretty much, you know, into the hills. And then down on the other side, it's the lake where the dam is created. And so I was kind of wondering where this llama came from. It was weird. I guess somebody does have a llama. There are llama farms around here. I don't know what they do with the llamas. And
I think
llama.
Yeah, maybe they use the fur for something. I seem to remember
that that might be
some sort of wool or something on them.
Yeah.
Sort of new age wool they use that for. But no, I've never been to your province. Farthest west I've been is Edmonton, I think.
Okay.
And
I'm probably closer to the Olympic Peninsula than I am to Edmonton, so.
Yeah, well, people from the States don't know any geography, so they don't realize how large that part of Canada is, right?
Yeah,
and
that's for sure.
Yeah, so it's all our maps have us right in the center, right?
Yeah.
So but I do spend a lot of time. I used to have an office up in Quebec City. I used to spend a lot of time up in Quebec City and Montreal and Toronto. So different part of the world.
Yeah. Well, I'm originally from Toronto.
Are you?
I was born in Toronto. I lived all my teen years in Mississauga, which is just west of Toronto.
That's where the airport is.
Yeah, that's right. And then we moved out to Vancouver when I was 17. So I've been here for 25 years, I guess. So.
Yeah, it sounds pretty.
Yeah, it's very pretty.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, I was just talking to Don about this, about your training schedule for this Ultra.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you topped out with basically 30-mile runs, right? That was your longest long run.
Yeah.
And that was somewhere around, you know, 5-ish hours, right?
Yeah.
So you and I are about the same pace to that extent. I'm like a 3:30 marathoner right now. I don't try real hard anymore.
Okay, that is me trying really hard.
right. So, I train for them, but I train for them so I can enjoy them.
Okay.
Because a marathon's miserable if you're not in shape.
Yeah.
You know? So, and of course, I run Boston. You know, you've listened to Steve and those guys. That's our big race out here, right?
Yeah.
I
don't even qualify for Boston, so.
Yeah, I got to run hard enough to qualify. And plus, I'm old now, so I don't have to run that fast. But it sounds like you're doing basically the one long run on the weekend, right? And then maybe 5 or 6 days a week doing, you know, 10K plus.
Yeah.
And that's your basic training plan, and you're doing that. You're probably doing 3 to 4 week waves through the plan where you're going sort of, you know, short, medium, long, for lack of a better.
Yeah, more of that short and long. So what I've done is, The plan that I was going off of was loosely based on what I saw in Runner's World.
Right.
And they had the build phase and all that. But
then
they also had strength training on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I just didn't have time for that. So
you know
I ended up more or less being just running.
Yeah, I got that same plan in front of me. I was just talking with Don about this. It was stressing me out because they got all these back-to-back long runs on the weekends.
Yeah.
And that second day, you know, I tried a couple of them where you're doing, you know, 3.5-4 hours on Saturday and then another 3 hours on Sunday.
Yeah.
The second day was just miserable. And it's like, you know, you can tell. You've run for a long time, so you can tell when a plan fits you and when it doesn't, and your body starts sending you a signal. So I'm going to change it, and I'm just going to do the one long run. But I've already got 30 in, and my race isn't until the 28th of September. So I got another month to go. So I'm just going to do, you know, basically.
You got your first 30 in. Yeah, I think I did 2 30s and a 27. So I think I'm fairly confident that I'm ready for it. It's a matter of this back thing, and I'm pretty sure I can work that out by Saturday.
Yeah, well, good luck.
Yeah.
Is it going to be a hilly course? Is it a trail course or a road course?
It's 97% trails or fire roads. And then it was funny because I was looking at the website maybe 2 or 3 months ago, and it said 2,000 feet of total elevation gain and loss. And then I looked at it last night, and it said 6,000 feet of total elevation gain and loss. So I'm thinking,
maybe they changed the course.
I must have wrong. They might have not. Well, they did change the course, but they added a little loop, and I don't think that was 4,000 feet. So
that's quite a little loop.
Yeah, they just probably figured, oh, wait, this isn't 2,000 feet, and they updated the website.
You got to look at the topo map and where the lines get really close together.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's loosely based on Stormy, it's called the Stormy 50 or Stormy 100, and Stormy is Squamish Test of Running Metal, and then they put yeah at the end, and Squamish Test of Metal is an annual bike race that they hold in June, and that's 67 kilometers, which 80 kilometers, like doing the math for you guys, is 50 miles, so they added 13 kilometers in there, and Squamish Test of Metal has been done years and years, so they've got topo maps and profile maps, and I was looking at that, and I could tell that the 2,000 feet was wrong right off the bat, so I knew what I was in for.
Yeah, the one I blithely signed up for in Vermont has, I think, somewhere around 12,000 feet of gain and loss, but that's okay. I'm just like where you are, there's a lot of hills, a lot of mountains. I'm from this area, so the mountains don't care.
Is that part of, like, the Appalachian Trail?
I don't know. I don't think that is. I think it's the Green Mountains, if you had to put a label on it.
Okay.
If you look at the Green Mountains, it's somewhere in there. It's basically a line of mountains between that runs up Vermont, and then the White Mountains are over in New Hampshire. So all the mountain races I was talking about, if you listen to my show, Mount Washington, Mount Loon Mountain, Cranmore, those are the White Mountains. Those are a little bit further east in New Hampshire.
Okay.
And Washington's the highest peak on this side. Of course, you know.
That's where they got the hill climb, right? The Mount Washington hill climb?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the joke. You know, I don't know if anybody ever gets a joke when I was talking to Dave Dunham. His name of his book is Only One Hill, because the joke is always, well, you know, how long is the Mount Washington road race? And you go, well, it's only 7.6 miles, and there's only one hill, right? But, of course, that hill is 14% grade the whole way, right?
Wow.
So it's that's the joke. Sort of one of those lifeless things. Yeah, check off if you're from the area. It's Mount Washington. You got to run Boston, you got to run Mount Washington. So.
And have you done that one?
Mount Washington? Yeah.
Yeah.
I did this year. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, I sort of signed up for this race. I haven't actually looked at the course map yet, but I'll get around to that. We'll figure it out. Figure it out.
And
so,
Jay, have you heard of the Jay?
Oh yeah, I know that guy. I did the article for that one too.
Okay.
Yeah, and they moved that one around.
They move it around in the year?
No, they move the course around.
They move the course around.
Yeah, so year over year, it's not always in the same place because he's always the guy's out of Montreal. I forget his name, but it's a guy out of Montreal that is the race director, and so the course isn't necessarily the same every year. But a lot of the trail races are like that. And I guess the marathon runs 27 miles or so.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one of those races where they warn you up front that, you know, you probably shouldn't be doing this. It's a stupid thing to do. Don't run this race.
That's a great selling feature.
Yeah. And I rode the article. I got there's this one section where you run, I think it's 3 miles, in a stream, in a river, right, in the actual river itself, up the river.
Yeah, I saw pictures of it in one of the running magazines, and everybody was waist-deep in water.
Yeah, and there's these other places where these two-foot-deep, you know, sucking mud quagmires. And,
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, and I talked to somebody who ran it, and he said his most vivid memory is coming down the trail and seeing somebody's shoe, gator and all, sticking up out of the mud, just like sort of sitting there, right? So, and then they have sand dunes, too. Somehow there's sand dunes involved, and like in the last 2 miles, you have to run up some sand dunes to add insult to injury.
Well, you know, New England is known for its desert-like conditions.
Yeah, we get a lot of sad dudes here in New England. I know of some in Maine, so I guess every once in a while you have a little microclimate or something. But so, that's one thing I wanted to talk to you about, the training schedule, because I was definitely I was tweaked by this plan, that same one that I downloaded from Runner's World. And I don't like a lot of their schedules. I don't know who writes them, but they seem to be sort of mediocre. You know, they try to combine too many things.
Yeah, they try and fit in everything to give it an all-around approach, and then I think most people who use them just take what they need and
exactly
trash the rest. Well, that's what
exactly.
You should. You got to. I mean, they're written probably for everyone, and you're not everyone. You're you, so you've got to find what fits you and work with that. I mean, find the points that are the most important. I think if you read a lot of these ultra-running articles and training articles, they'll say that the long run is the key. You've
right.
got to get your miles in, and if you're not doing speed work, forget about it. Don't even try.
Are you doing any kind of speed or tempo in your weekly schedule?
No. I was back probably 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I just kind of gave up.
That's actually something I found that can help you to not go crazy in your taper, you know, assuming you were healthy. Is throw in a little speed work one day a week.
Because my dog didn't like it, so I kind of gave up on it.
Okay. All right, let's talk about the dog, because this is the other thing. You and I are like twins here. The other thing is, you got a dog, I got a dog.
Yeah.
And my dog is Buddy, the Wonder Dog, and one of the reasons I'm a little tired today is he decided to have some digestive problems at 3 o'clock in the morning last night, and he started making noise, right? And I'm like, go back to sleep, you know? And, of course, he's saying, hey, I'd like to, but you're not going to like what happens if you don't let me out for a walk right now. So.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, so you were taking your dog up on some of those 20-plus runs.
Oh, yeah, he's done 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't do my last 30 because it was all roads.
Yeah.
But the previous 30, which was, you know, probably 50 or 60% trails, he did that. He does fine.
Yeah, because you're going slow enough. It's not really it's not a run for them.
Yeah, the only thing that I was talking to my vet about that, and the only thing that they were concerned about is the pavement. And the pavement temperature gets so hot.
Right.
So you got to worry about blistering. Really, it's not the distance. It's more of the heat.
Yeah.
And they can get really damaged that way.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Buddy. He's a long-haired dog, and he doesn't like the hot weather.
Yeah. So. Well, we shaved. I shaved. My dog, he's a golden retriever, so.
Yeah, and goldens are bird dogs, so doesn't he like run around the woods and try to flush out birds while you're running?
Pretty much, yeah. He'll chase after anything he sees. And
so you run 30, and he runs 50?
Probably, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
He'll be running ahead, running behind, running around. I'm just scared he's going to flush out a bear or something like that, so.
Yeah. Well, Buddy is weird because he's a herding dog.
Mm-hmm.
So he just runs with me. He basically has a little pace, and he runs about 10 feet ahead of me and stays on the trail. And unless he sees something, he's not leaving the trail. So it's really weird.
That's good.
He's not trying to flush anything. So if you know what a border, you ever been to like a minor league baseball game and then drag out those black and white dogs to jump up and catch the frisbees between the innings?
That's
Buddy. He's one of those.
He's a border collie, is he? Or?
Yeah, he's one of those.
Okay.
He's the frisbee.
So they're high-energy dogs.
Yeah, and that's sort of the joke, excuse me, in my running club is that they say you're probably doing the minimum amount of exercise that this dog requires, you know?
Yeah, I don't see how you can get much more. I don't know. I don't seem to ever tire out my dog. So although he does pant a lot by the end of it, that's just heat.
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, if there's something you could carry to feed him. You know, some sort of doggy ultra treat. You know.
I usually give him Sharkies.
What are Sharkies?
They're like Cliff Shot blocks, except they're made by Sharkies. They're organic energy food. They're meant for humans, but I end up giving him half a pack and me half a pack, and so it gets kind of expensive because up here they're worth about $2 a pack. So
right.
During the course of a 30-mile run, I probably go through about 4 packs, and I only get 2 of them. So
yeah, you know, because I'm out doing 30 miles and I'm chewing down, you know, 500,000 calories, and the poor dog, you know, working on a handful of kibble.
Yeah, I used to take dog biscuits and Sharkies, so I always go for the higher-end, high-protein dog biscuits, too.
Yeah, I'll have to do that, because I already give them the active dog food, the Yukonuba, the good stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that helps a little bit.
I think that makes a big difference, really.
Yeah. Because if you look at dog food, a lot of the dog food has nothing in it. It's just all filler.
Oh.
It's like
yeah, you really got to read the labels.
Yeah, the cheap
stuff. If you're going to read the labels for yourself, you might as well read the labels for the dog, too.
Yeah, and the cheap dog food is all filler. There's no, like, food in it. And that's why, you end up picking it up off the lawn.
Exactly. I didn't want to say that. It's also
funny.
I keep saying that.
So cool. What are you buying a new pair of shoes for your race?
No, and that was the thing, because after my 30-miler, it was all roads, and I did it with my trail shoes. I probably burned out the outsole, so the tread, and I am right down to the midsole.
Wow.
On the tread, but I don't want to switch over to a new pair of shoes yet, because you know, you don't try new things this close to an ultra.
Yeah, because you end up getting a blister could take you out.
I know. So I've got an old pair of shoes. It's really, it's like they're gone.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna run 50 miles in them and retire them. And that's it. So I don't want to try anything new.
Yeah, I just got a new pair. I'm running in Saucony TRs, the trail shoe.
Oh, okay.
I'm an Asics guy, but I found the Asics trail shoes, the heel's too high. And I actually, a couple years back, I rolled my ankle doing some speed work out in the woods, and I basically broke my ankle, right?
Really?
The Asics, because just that extra sort of, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 centimeters higher on the heel was enough leverage for me to roll my ankle, and I was off my feet for like 6 months.
Is it that much? Which trail shoes was it? Like, do you remember? Was it?
No, I don't. I got them at home somewhere, you know, in my big pile of shoes. In my shoe room, right?
Yeah, I actually gave away my shoe room to charity, so they were shipping off old shoes to Africa for, I don't know, and so we boxed them all up, put them in a container, and off they went. So
yeah, that's a great strategy. What I've done is I've cultivated a number of people I know, like relatives and stuff, who have the same size foot, and my sisters have a bunch of sons who have these enormous feet, and so I'll send my box of old shoes out there. And so it's funny because I'll see my nephews and they'll be wearing, you know, the A6 gel cumulus. Hey, I remember those shoes.
Those were good shoes for me. Take care of them, yeah.
You know, because I put 500 miles in them. They're still brand new. They're just, I can't run on them anymore, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just throw them in the washer.
Yeah, they just won't hold up, but they look great.
Yeah, and the other thing I have is, you know, reams and reams of cotton race T-shirts from over the years, right? And especially long sleeve ones. For some reason, I guess it's because of where Boston sits. I do all my racing in the winter. And so I got all these long sleeve race tees. I'll have to start giving them away as prizes or something.
Yeah. Out here, in New England, but out here, most of our race T-shirts now are the high tech material, so you can run in them.
Yeah, same here. That's great. I love that. No one's giving cut tees anymore.
Yeah, I don't race a lot. This is my first race of the year, actually. Usually I only race a couple times a year, so most of the shirts that I have are all race T-shirts that I run in.
Yep, me too. That's what I've got down to. And I keep telling my race director friends they need to start giving away, because hats were big last year. Everybody gave away hats last year. So I got these great technical hats, right? They're awesome.
Wow.
And you get the shirts. So I'm saying, hey, you guys got to, here's the deal. We got enough shirts. We got enough hats. You guys need to start giving away technical socks, right? You need to start giving away some technical underwear.
Technical shorts.
Yeah. We got to fill out the wardrobe here. I got enough shirts.
Yeah. Or, they should just get in a room together and say, well, we'll do the shorts, we'll do the shirts, we'll do the pants, or, you know, so and they're not all giving away shirts. They're not all giving away socks. We need to, you know.
You could have outfits, right? You get have outfits.
Exactly. So you have to race all of your races in the series so you can get the whole outfit.
Exactly. My buddy Dave Camiro, one of the guys over at Cool Running, he did a race series this year where there was they gave away medals, and the three medals from the three races fit together to make one super medal.
Oh, wow.
So the same thing, right?
Yeah.
You could have six race series with six articles of clothing.
Yeah, we've got bike races out here. I think they're centuries. And they call it the sock century or something like that, where if you do the one in the spring, you get one sock.
Yeah.
And then if you do the one in the fall, you get the other one. So you have to do both to get the pair. So.
Right. Well, being a distance runner, you know that when you see somebody running out of the woods with one sock on, mm-hmm. they forgot their toilet paper.
Yeah.
Which was one of your tips. One of your tips from your 30-mile run,
yeah,
which I agree, but I have a different technique. What I do is I take the recommended number of sheets, I roll it up really tight, I put it in a plastic baggie, like a sandwich baggie, wrap it up and wrap a rubber band around it, so then it's all, like, hermetically sealed, and I stick that. That'll fit right in your key pocket if you don't have a pack.
Oh.
So there's my toilet paper tip for you.
But then it's, I guess then you have to get that nice ball consistency when you have to unravel it.
Yeah, but it's fine because it's dry.
Yeah, that's true.
It'll even make it through the washer if you get to take it out of your key pocket.
So I'm going to try that.
So you basically fold it, what's it, a roll is what, 4 inches wide maybe, 4.5, 5 inches? Fold it halfway so it's like 2 inches long or an inch and a half long. You can convert it to metric for me. And then you roll it up like almost like a cigarette, right?
Yeah.
And then you put that in the plastic bag and wrap and fold the plastic bag in half. It's about the same size. And roll it up and then wrap a rubber band around it so it's all tight. That sticks right down your key pocket. No muss, no fuss.
Yeah. You know what I find is when you put the baggies, you know, the Ziploc bags that you can get now, those Ziplocs are terrible because they don't fold very well. And
they don't fold,
They take up more room. So
they got the air in them, and you got to get the air out. And the other thing I find is when you go to open them when you're out, you know, 20 miles and you're all soaking wet, they're really hard to work with. You know,
yeah.
The sweat gets all in them and everything. You're right. So I use the regular cheap sandwich baggies, but since you're wrapping it so many times and you get the rubber band around it, it's fine, right?
I'm going to try that.
There you go.
This weekend. I think I could try that one this weekend, even though there's going to be aid stations and stuff like that. So I may not need it, but you never know.
You never know. And you know what my finding is on that? Is the only time you need it is when you don't bring it.
Yeah.
If you bring it, you don't need it. If you don't bring it, then you're like hunting around trying to determine which is the poison ivy and which is the, the not poison ivy. You got to know your flora out in the woods.
Exactly.
You can make a bad mistake. How did we go down this hole?
Yeah. I think it was.
Yeah.
You can edit this out. But
yeah. Hey, so this is great. So why did you start doing your podcast, Ultra Dad?
You know, I guess it came down to that one episode of Fadipidations where Steve was saying that he wasn't going to do his podcast as much or anymore, and then Jody came up with hers because of that, and I thought, you know, I've always wanted to do one. I've been listening to podcasts probably 2 or 3 years, I guess.
Yeah.
I've always listened to Fadipidations probably back in the single digits. No, not single digits, probably early double digits. And I also listened to Zen and the Art of Triathlon.
Yeah.
And I always thought, you know, these are great. They're just free-flowing, and I thought I could do one. And then it came down to, well, my favorite podcast is he's going to cut back on the number of shows that he does, and I thought, why not give it a try? So I tried it.
Yeah.
And it's actually pretty fun.
It is fun, and the community bit is good. It's like sort of the extended running club.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So I don't know about you, but I don't have a running club out here. There's not a lot of local races. I think I live in a small town just outside of Vancouver, probably about 60 miles from Vancouver. There's you know, towns, municipalities all the way in, but out where I live, there's no running club. There's one local race, and it's in the spring. So to go for other local races, I've got to go across the river, and we're kind of spread out here as far as a running community. So I don't have anybody to run with except for my dog.
Right.
I don't know about you.
This is a hotbed of running, right? So there's ten races within 30 miles of me every weekend, every Saturday and Sunday. Every night of the week, there's a local series. You know, they do these series here where, for example, Dave Kamara does the Good Time Series in Lowell, which is a city that's about 20 miles from me, every Tuesday night, right? They do this pub race, and they have themes and all this stuff, right? There's another one on Thursday night, another one on Wednesday night. So I could run every night of the week. I've just pulled back because I look at the 400 race numbers hanging in my closet, and I multiply that times 20 bucks, and I start to wonder about my kids' education, you know?
Wow. Yeah, that's the thing. It can get pretty expensive. I mean, to this point, this year, all I've spent money on is this one race entry and then shoes. That's it. Shoes.
Yep. But I like the training. I like being alone out in the woods. I like running with people, too. We have a blast. We have a great club here in town, and we run on Thursday nights, mm-hmm. and we run on Sunday mornings. So I go out for the group runs, too. We have a blast. And then we'll also do this thing where we do brunch runs. So some club member will invite everybody over to their house on a Sunday, and we'll all bring food, and we'll have a big food fest, go for a run, and then chow down. Yeah, it's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but anyhow, with the Internet, you can do that with people you've never met, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Can't do the food part. I guess you could FedEx it or something. But
FedEx or just say, hey, I'm eating spaghetti. What are you eating?
What are you eating? I got the potato salad.
Except that you're 3 hours ahead, so you're probably eating dinner when I'm eating my afternoon snack. So.
Yeah, see, in my real job, I do a lot of global stuff, and I travel all the time, so time zones don't bother me. So I'm up early to work with Europe, typically, and then I'm out late working with the West Coast. And then those guys in China, I don't know what to do about them. They're 12 hours off, so it's always hard to talk to the guys in China and Korea. Got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, well, the world will be there. When is that? It starts this weekend, does it?
They already started screwing around. They're doing the exhibition games right now. So, it starts soon.
But the opening ceremony is Saturday or Friday or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah. I know it's terrible, but I don't pay much attention to the Olympics.
Yeah.
Especially with the TV coverage we get. You get better TV coverage in Canada. We get sort of the soap opera coverage down here, where they spend 5% on the sports and 95% on the fact that the guy's father died of something and is, you know, all the backstory stuff, right?
Yeah, you get a lot of, soap opera digest kind of stuff.
Right, but I found the Canadian coverage is sort of, okay, here's the sport, go, right?
Here's the sport, no commentary.
Right, go.
You got to figure out who won because there's no commentary.
Yeah, so.
I like that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of time delay, too, because it's on the other side of the world, so we tend to only get the events where somebody from the U.S. won.
Which is usually a lot of them.
Well, it's some of them anyhow, but they, you know, so they sort out any, you know, some fantastic event, they'll sort it out because nobody from the U.S. placed, they won't even show it, right? So anyhow, I don't pay much attention to the Olympics. It's kind of a background thing. So all right, man. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, nice talking to you too.
So tell us why you run. That's my question.
Why do I run?
Everybody, yeah.
I run because it makes me feel good. It makes me feel like me. I don't know. I just find my peace when I run.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well said. I would have to say the same thing. You know. It's a way to turn your demons into muses.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
That's a good one. I like that.
So after we get off the air, you can send me your address. I'll send you a copy of my book.
It's
a bunch of short running stories that I wrote over the years with Cool Running and other stuff. And I think you'll get a kick out of it.
Well, that would be awesome.
All right.
Look forward to reading it.
No worry. Right. Hey, thanks for the time, Rob.
Okay, you're welcome.
Say hi to your dog for me.
I will.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Here's today's quick tips.
Hey, this is Chris. It's 8-5, August 5th, and we got a nice snap of cool weather here in the east. That's my friend Buddy Swyman, Buddy the Wonder Dog. He's a beautiful dog. He's been in a great mood this week because it hasn't been so humid. He doesn't like the humid weather. But we're having a hoot today. We're on the other side of the pond, over on the triathlon course. We figured we'd add in 3 or 4 miles and run 10 or 12 tonight because the weather was so spanky nice. So nice. So that's where we are. Letting the puppy go for a swim. I got no tip for you. All I know is these shoes are worn out, man. I think the Sole Odor Control might have destroyed them somehow. Because they're feeling really spent. No support at all. So I got another pair coming in the mail, though. I got me a pair of Joe Cumulus for $58. And I got a pair of Saucony TRs, my trail shoes, coming too. And then tomorrow we get to talk to Don Allison, who's the Ultra Runner guy. And I'm also going to talk to the Ultra Dad tomorrow too. So I'm going to have a couple of good podcasts coming out. And there's that dog swimming around a pond. Most amazing thing. Because it's amazing because he's not a water dog. He's a border collie. He's supposed to be herding sheep. Instead, he's out biting lily pads in the center of this pond. Like a maniac. Here he comes. Come on, dog. Let's go. Hey, it's me. I'm on the other side of the pond now. Just ran around the whole pond. Looking across to where I was. Mr. Fur Boy, Fur Butt, swimming over here now. Great night. So I was listening to the 4 Feet Running podcast. First time I really listened to a whole one, and they're sweet. I wish my wife was into something besides yelling at me. So that's pretty cool. But one thing, I'm listening to all these other podcasts, you know, Nigel and Steve and these guys. And one thing I realized is that you guys are making me feel fast. I always thought I was a mid-packer until I started listening to the other runners, so I guess I'm not. I guess I'm an upper mid-packer. But, you know, it's all the same community. People are sweet. Great community. Anybody wants to run with me, you should come down to the Air Massachusetts Rail Trail on Thursday nights at 8:30. We have our crew. We go out there and we run in the woods in the dark with headlamps, and that's a hoot. So, and we got all speeds, all shapes and sizes. So you should come do that. One of the things I noticed today, I forgot to set my watch, so I'm doing somewhere between 9 and 12 miles, I don't know, something like that. It's all in the woods, doesn't matter. Besides my shoes being beat, there goes that dog, look at me, swimming away. He's going to drown. Hey, dog, get over here. Come on, I'm not rescuing you. Come on. One thing I noticed is that, you know, you never know how you're going to feel till you get out there. Like, my legs are beat today, and I felt great. You know, when I was putting my shoes on, I was so psyched to go running. I felt, you know, totally full of energy and going to be a great run. You know, when you get out there, you know, it's like night and day, and my legs are dead, and I'm tired. So some days you'll get in, you'll be sick, you feel terrible, you'll barely be able to force yourself out of the house, and you get out there, and you'll feel fantastic. So you never can tell. The best thing to do, you know, like everybody says, the best thing to do is just get out, get your shoes on, get out, and start walking. And once you start walking, you see how you feel. As soon as you're out a mile, you'll keep going. I got to rescue my dog. He's swimming across the pond. I can't believe it. I'm going to have to do my life-saving drill on this idiot, border collie. He's so funny. He swims, and when he does the dog paddle, it makes the water, you know, splash up in the air, and then he tries to bite it. So he's splashing it and biting it. He's going to drown. I got to get him. All right, Buddy Boo and I are back from our however long a run that was. I don't know, maybe an hour and a half. What do you think, 10, 12 miles? Something like that. Anyhow, we took it easy because we're easy guys. We run for fun, me and Buddy. Buddy's got a lot of energy. We just saw a coyote. Actually, I saw it. He didn't. Some guard dog, huh? I saw the coyote. He didn't. I don't think his eyes are that good. Same spot last week. We had this beautiful deer almost jumped right over Buddy. And it was in the sun, like a dark brown, really beautiful, really healthy looking deer. But the coyotes we got around here, the eastern coyotes, there's some sort of, ow, gosh darn flies. Come on, dog. Come on, we're going. Come on, we're going in. No, we're not going out for another run. Come on. Let's go. He's staring longingly at the woods. The coyotes we have around here are big. Like, they're bigger than Buddy. So, you know, they're 70 pounds, maybe. good-looking coyotes, and they hunt the deer and the rabbits and the mice and stuff. And we hear them at night. Sometimes they have parties, and you can hear them. But that's pretty cool. I love the wildlife. Haven't seen any llamas or any bears or any moose, but I see a lot of deer, wild turkey. Right now, a lot of geese, and I see my border collie's furry butt in front of me. So that's it for today, man. I'm going in, put my clothes on, maybe cut some wood. Later.
All right, guys, I'm going long today. I'm up to 45 minutes. I apologize, but my interview there with Ultra Dad was not long enough to cut in half, not short enough to fit in my 40-minute envelope, so you get an extra, you get a bonus 5-10 minutes today, a bonus extra minutes, a BOGO. Buy one, get one free. So I'll pick some music and we'll be on with the show. I gotta go home, man. It's getting late. All right, Ultra Dad, this is for you, because I'm staying up late to put this podcast together so you can download it to your iTunes and be inspired. So I get some inspiring music. I'm here to help you. Name of this song is I'm So Tired. And this is real blues, man. This is real blues. I'm So Tired by Boo Boo Davis. Enjoy.
Going to work. Oh, when I get down, when a baby cry from New York. Sometimes I get in early in the morning, hear the rooster crowing. Hear the rooster crowing, y'all. Can you hear the rooster crowing? Hear the rooster crowing in the morning. Can't go on with day, y'all. I had to get up early and on my way going to work, y'all.